Good morning. Well, church service isn't rained out today, but movie in the park is over and over. I've become a weather expert, I guess, not really. But I've looked at the weather more and the predictions more in the last 2 weeks than I have for the last 2 years. Guaranteed. I never check the weather until I look outside and go, it's nice today. But this week, in previous weeks, I've been checking it daily and daily and daily to see what's happening hourly as the time approaches because of the time we have to make the call on whether we're doing the movie night in the park or not. And so this week, we saw these storms coming in and storms coming in, and it ended up being a beautiful night. Beautiful weather. But hey, God has a plan and God has a purpose. And we continue to trust God. And so are we ready? That's what I've been kind of thinking about this week. Are we ready as a church to share the gospel in the community? Are we ready for people that come to church, any shape, any size, any kind, wearing anything, that need the Lord? Are we ready? You see, this last part of the Give and Trusted series is about the Give and Trusted gospel. We have been entrusted the gospel message as a church. We've gone through now 5 weeks. This is the 6th week of this study. And we started out with a study talking about the ownership of God and how God owns everything. And we started in Psalm 24, verses 1 through 2, where it says this. And this is the foundation of this whole study. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. For he laid its foundation on the seas and established it on the rivers. Everything in this world belongs to God. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master, Creator, owner of it all. But we have a tendency to grab and hold and claim it as ours. Instead of realizing the fact that we have been given it, not removing God's ownership, but establishing who gave it to us, God did. It's still his. And so what are we using what we've been given trusted? With our families, we've gone through that. With our church, with our finances, with our time. Time was week 2. We have been given this time that we have here on earth. And Ephesians 5, 15, 17 was our main focus that week. As we closed out the passage that week, we read this passage and it said this: pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we started seeking God's will. With the family we've been entrusted with, the church we've been entrusted with, the finances we've been entrusted with, and now the gospel we have been entrusted with. Those words entrusted with the gospel are actually used in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2. When we read that passage, it'll be up on the overhead in a second. If you skip 2 slides ahead, you can get to it. And we'll just leave that up there the rest of the time. You don't have to worry about flipping another slide. But it actually, in the second part of this, as we get closer to into 4, it says this. Instead, and we'll read the whole verse in a second. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. And this is Paul writing. And we're going to get to more of that, and we're going to explain the whole passage here. But these words of entrusted with the gospel are actually used within Scripture. We have been given the gospel, the message of salvation through Christ alone. We have been entrusted with that message as well. So give and trust. The gospel has become kind of a popular word as of late. I remember growing up, I rarely heard the word gospel used for other than the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I heard the word good news used. And the word gospel actually means good news. That's probably why we heard it more back in the 80s and 90s, the word good news used more. But now we hear the gospel more and more. But the gospel is not a fad. Do you remember some of the popular things that came out when you were in school? When I was in middle school, colored pants got very popular. Colored jeans. And we're talking like bright colors. You know, you'd see kids in red pants. You'd see kids in blue pants. And I, being a Spartan fan, wanted green pants. And so about the time they went on sale because they started going out of style, I was able to get some green pants. And so when we got them on the clearance rack, as they're going out of style, I find this pair of green pants. And they're not even Spartan green. They are bright green pants. I don't even know what I look like. I was a chubby kid anyway, so I put these bright green pants on with my Spartan shirt on. And the whole day I was self-conscious going, man, I look like a fool. What is wrong with me? Why did I wear these green pants? They probably don't even match my shoes. I don't know what's wrong. Like a piece of lettuce walking around the school. And so these fads come in and out. Do you remember the Reebok pumps? How cool those shoes were back in the 90s? Some of you that were in school at that time remember them. Those that weren't probably maybe remember buying them for your kids. I don't know. But they had these Reebok pumps, and as you pumped them up, they would squeeze your ankle, and then you would squeeze this button and it would go, shh. I'm not ready to play basketball yet. Just a second. Let's go. And you'd wear these shoes, and they were so neat because not only they squeezed your feet more, it was like a hug for your foot. And so you got to do the shh, game's over, shh, shh, good to go for the rest of my day. These things come in and they go out, and then they try to come back in again, like pumps came back out in a low top version with a pump on the side just about a year ago. And the green pants came back for a little while here recently within the last few years. But they got much tighter than they used to be, and which was strange, but whatever. They come back and they go out. But fads come and go, but the gospel does not come and go. It's not a fad. You see, God's word says this. It says that in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes." See, in the gospel is power for salvation. It's way more than anything else. It's not a fad. It's not a popular word. As we read about this gospel, and you look up this word gospel throughout Scripture. In Matthew, actually in Matthew 16, verse 18, it talks about, actually we'll get to that one in a second. I want to read this one first. Mark 16, 15 and 16, we see these words. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. You see, it's the power of God to save sinners, to save us. It's the command of God to go and proclaim the gospel message. We're told in Thessalonians that we are entrusted with the gospel message. So what's holding us back? Is it a fear? Is it a fear? Is it a fear or of saying it wrong? Of sharing it wrong? Is it a fear of rejection from others that holds us back from sharing this message we have been entrusted with? Is it a confusion within ourselves because We've heard so many people share the message of the gospel, and so we're not sure exactly where to start and exactly where to stop. And a lot less people know today anything about Jesus. And so we have to share a lot more now than we used to, because you used to be able to say the name Jesus and people knew who he was. What's holding us back? Go to that Matthew passage I was going to read a second ago. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus says this about Peter and about the church. And this passage, along with the previous passage about going and preaching the gospel, and the previous passage with that about the power of salvation, when we read this and we see that Jesus tells Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the force of Hades will not overpower." When we read that the church itself will not be overpowered by Hades, by hell, and the forces and the powers of hell, then those fears that we have of sharing the gospel should be set to the side. Because not only is the gospel the power of God to save sinners, us, but hell can't stand against it. Satan cannot overpower the gospel message that we have been entrusted with. Satan cannot overpower the church. And we have been commanded by God to go and proclaim the gospel. So what does hold us back? I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to go the second part of 2, so 2b through 4. That passage we had read a little bit earlier. These previous passages about the call and about the power of the gospel and about the fact that hell cannot stand against it should give us boldness. The fact that we have received the message of grace should give us passion and purpose to share it. But what about these situations where we just feel that we can't do it? I'm not sure what to say. I don't have the power myself to do this. See, the church in Thessalonians was facing some hard times, some severe persecution, some sufferings. And we read this. We were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. We need to be emboldened. We need God to make us bold for the gospel. In spite of great opposition, the church was emboldened by God to speak the gospel message so that people could hear. In spite of great opposition. Verse 3. For our exhortation, an exhortation is a proclamation where you're asking somebody, you need to respond to this. You're trying to persuade people to respond to the gospel message. For our exhortation did not come from error or impurity or intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not to please men, but rather God, who examines our heart. And so in the first part of this verse, we see the empowering of God to speak the gospel. The second part of this verse, we see that they had been approved by God. They had received the gospel. So they had been entrusted with the gospel to share it to everyone. And there would be people that would not like it. And there'd be people that would reject it. But the ultimate goal that Paul was announcing here was that they had come to please God, and to share the message of God, empowered by God, to the church of Thessalonica. So, to me, I read that and I go, God, I need that. God, I need you to embolden me every day. Give me boldness. God, help me to speak the gospel. Looking to please you, not looking to please me. Help me to realize that I have been forgiven by you. And so, let me speak like Paul writes. I was entrusted with the gospel, so we speak the gospel. As we see these fears and we look at ourselves and we ask kind of the question, Lord, why don't I share the gospel as much as I should? God, why am I afraid to share the gospel? Why am I waiting maybe for that perfect opportunity where the person comes to me and they say, hey, Rick, could you share the gospel with me? You just tell me straight up, I need to know it all. Why are we waiting for that? I think a lot of times it boils down to the fact that we're kind of unclear about what the gospel is. I saw it today, so we can kind of set aside these fears and set aside these uncertainties about the gospel. I want to go clearly through what the gospel is, so that we can be, like we read here, emboldened to share the gospel. We have to know what it is in order to share the gospel, correct? And so, what is the gospel? Turn over a few books to the left. We're going to 1 Corinthians. And this is the shortest, most precise sharing of the gospel. As Paul writes here, to the church in Corinth, he wants them to understand clearly. He wants to clarify a few things for them, because there seemed to be some confusion with them as well. He wanted them to understand what exactly the gospel message was, so that they could be prepared to then share that gospel message with others as well. So we read here, and it's not going to be up on the overhead, so I invite you to turn in your Bible to it. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at 1 through 4. And we're just going to break down a few words in this passage, mainly focusing on 3 and 4, but 1 and 2 lead into this. So it says this, now brothers, speaking to the church there, I want to clarify for you the gospel. So there was some confusion. Some other teachings had started to come in, and they needed to know what should I really share? I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believed for no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let's pause there. You continue to read on, you see that Christ appeared to person after person after person, showing that he had indeed risen. But in this verse 3 and verse 4, we see the message of the gospel in its simplicity. First of all, it starts with Christ. We cannot share the gospel without sharing Christ. So, Christ, God the Son, came here for me and for you. But why did he come here for me and for you? Because of sin. You see, in that same verse, verse 3, it says, Christ died for our sins. Every single one of us is a sinner. And our sin separates us from God. See, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love how the NLT translates this and kind of brings a greater understanding of it. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. God, in all his glory and all his holiness, has a standard, and sin cannot be with God. But we, every single one of us, sins. All of us. Just before he uses the word sin, the word died is used. Why is that in there? You see, death is the punishment for sin. Because of our sinfulness, every single one of us is facing death. Separation from God, physically, spiritually, eternally. Death. Three areas of death. When Adam and Eve took and they took the fruit and they, the very first sin, disobeyed God. God said, you will surely die. They didn't understand that quite, and they didn't physically die, but they spiritually and eternally died in that moment when they sinned against holy God. We are spiritually, physically, eternally dead in our sin. Well, when you put those sin and death and Christ together, we see this. We see that Christ died for our sins. You see, Jesus bore our sin on the cross. He paid the price for our sin. He took our wrath that we deserve, fully deserved, on himself. Jesus did that for me and for you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's the beginning of the gospel. God the Son came to the earth because we were separated from him. We deserve to die because of our sin. We deserve wrath. We deserve separation from God because of our sinfulness. We rejected God. But Christ, God the Son, died on the cross for our sins, for me, for you, took the wrath for us on the cross. And then it says in verse 4 that he was buried and that he rose on the third day. Why is that essential to the gospel message? See, that proves that he died. He paid the price for our sin. He died for our sin because the wages of sin is death. And so he paid the price for our sin. But here's what it also proves. When he rose again, he conquered death. Because if there was one sin not paid for, Jesus would not have rose again. He couldn't. Because the wages, if he bore our sin on himself, he had our sin on himself fully. And the wages of sin is death, then he could not have risen if our sin was not fully paid for, because our sin was on him. So our sin was fully paid for by Christ. When Jesus died and he rose again, he conquered death and he conquered sin. So that if we believe in him as our only hope, we can have eternal life. See, the Bible over and over and over talks about faith. If you believe I'm in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And many times we try to add works to that gospel message. But the reality is, if we believe in Jesus, that he paid the price for our sins, that he is our only hope, then we will be saved. We will be saved. It's by faith you are saved. It's a gift of God, not by works. Now, why in the world do we talk about works? Because if you truly believe that, you will then live for him. It's a response afterwards. Jesus died for you, to pay the price for you. Do you believe that? Have you responded to that? I'm going to go back to Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians 1 now. 1, and we're going to read 6 through 10. In verses 6 through 10, we have this example that's set by the church in Thessalonica, and I want to challenge us to follow this example. See, they knew the gospel, they heard the gospel, they responded to the gospel, and then they proclaimed the gospel. And that's what we're called to do as a church. We have been given, trusted, this gospel message. And so what are we doing with this? Here's the example that they set in the church. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And so in response, they became imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy. But they also became imitators of the Lord. When in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit's work in us that enables us to respond. And so when you're sharing the message of the gospel with your friends and your family and your coworkers or whoever you're sharing it with, you're not going to persuade them. It's the Holy Spirit's work in their heart that enables them to respond. And so rely on that, just like the church here did. Verse 7. As a result, you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. The message of the gospel rang out from this church. Wherever they went, it rang out. In the way they lived, in the words they said, they shared the gospel. Can that be said of RBF? I mean, that's the whole reason we're trying to do this movie in the park. It's not to show a movie. It's to tell people of Jesus' love for them. That's the purpose. We want people to know that Jesus loved them enough that he went and died on the cross for their sins. To introduce them to the love of Christ, to show them the love of Christ, to ring out the love of Christ in our community wherever we go. And we can do that on a daily basis in our workplaces, in our homes. Does the message of the gospel ring out in the way that we talk to our family? Does the message of the gospel ring out in the way that we treat our coworkers? Does it ring out in the way that we act, the way that we speak? See, the reason this message was able to ring out from their life. The message that was proclaimed every place they went. Why was it able to do that? Why was that response there? Because of verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10 shows that there was a transformation in their life. They truly did respond to the gospel message. For they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You see, their only hope was in Jesus. And that hope, that belief that they had in Jesus as their only hope, that he had saved them from the wrath that was to come because of their sinfulness, that turned into following God. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned to him and they served him because he was their only hope to be saved from the wrath they deserved. What is our response? See, they were able to proclaim the message because they had actually responded to the message. Have you responded to the gospel message? Have you done anything with the gospel message you have responded with? One of my very first jobs as a kid was paper route. And it was a Saturday morning paper route in Okemos, Michigan. And Okemos backs up to East Lansing. I lived about a half a mile from Spartan Stadium. So we could hear the band playing on game day and hear the crowds. And it was a really cool thing as a kid to be outside and play football and you hear the crowd cheering and you think they're cheering for you, but they're really cheering for the Spartans. And it was a lot of fun. But I had this paper out, and it was every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, a bundle of papers would be dropped off at my house. And it was hundreds of papers. It seemed like thousands of papers, maybe millions of papers, but it was quite a few papers. And it was one of those free local papers that people would advertise in, but nobody ever bought, but you had to deliver to every single house because people had paid for their advertisements, and you got paid so many pennies per paper or half a cent per paper or whatever it was. I can't remember now. I don't remember the name of the paper. I asked my mom, and she had no idea either. And so I just remember we had to wake up, and we had to respond to the message we had been given. Every morning there was a pile of messages, papers, sitting on our porch. Every Saturday morning. And I needed to get that done before state played so that I could watch the state game or I could be outside playing football during that time. So, yeah, I needed to get that done quickly. And so there was a certain sense of urgency of getting this message out. And I probably would have faced the wrath of my parents had I not got the message out. So I needed to get it done quickly. But there was a preparedness. I had to get ready. I couldn't just take the thing of papers and throw it on one door and be good to go, deliver the papers all to one house, but deliver the papers. Now, I actually had to get the papers, and then we had to stuff them with advertisements. And so you would open up the bundle, and you would stuff every paper with advertisement. Then you would fold the paper in half or roll the paper, and then you'd put it in a bag, and then you put that bag in your newspaper bag. And then you would go out, and you would get on your bicycle, and you would have this giant thing of newspaper sitting between your legs, and you'd be riding your bicycle like this as you're trying to ride, because the paper route was actually several miles away. It wasn't in my neighborhood, and so we had to ride all over Okemos to deliver these papers to hundreds of houses. But I had to be prepared. I had to get ready. May that be a description of us. That we, those things we struggle with, I don't feel prepared, I don't feel ready, I don't feel empowered. We start to get ready. God, teach me the gospel. Help me to learn how to share the gospel. Help me to know what it looks like to share this to someone. Lord, give me the words to say, and we start to memorize some scriptures so that we can share the fact that we all are indeed sinners and we all need a Savior. And the wages of sin is death, and we start to memorize the fact that Christ does indeed love us in different passages throughout Scripture. Romans Road is a great place to start to memorize all these different aspects of the gospel message. But we can't forget Christ. And so I really like the passage here. And as we read through and we see these different aspects of Christ, the sin, the death, that Christ died for our sins, as we read through 1 Corinthians, we can start to memorize passages based off of that. And we become prepared to deliver the message. We're ready. We got the papers all in the bags, and we got on our bike, and we're now going out, and we have our assignment. We need to go and proclaim the message. And we go out, and we start sharing it with a sense of urgency, because God's wrath is coming on this world. God's wrath is coming. In those days when I was doing the paper routes, I wanted to get done in time because I wanted to make sure I was ready to play football, to watch football. There's so much more to life than that. So much more. See, I need to make sure I'm out sharing the gospel because Jesus has come back. And there's people all around us, next door, across the street, people I encounter every single day that do not know Jesus. And that should propel me to share the gospel message that I have received. Because I have hope now. I have purpose now. But they don't have. And I want them to know hope. And so we need to ask Lord God to start breaking our hearts. God, break my heart for the needy around me. God, break my heart for the needy next door. Break my heart for the lost and my family so that I will share the gospel message and get prepared, learning it so we can share. Let's pray. Lord, we have been given trusted the gospel message. We've gone through the whole list of things now that we have been given, that we have been entrusted with, that we have been given trusted, Lord. From just the fact that everything is from you, to the fact that you have a purpose and plan for the time that we have here on earth. You have given us a family. You have given us a church. You have given us finances. You have given us the gospel. And we can go on and on and on and make this a 52-week study if I want. But Lord, the reality is, are we really seeking your will in every aspect of life? Are we surrendering to your ownership in every aspect of life? Are we surrendering to your kingship and proclaiming your message around the world, across the street, in our family? That they may believe in you. We all need a Savior, every single one of us. And you are that Savior. You are God. And you paid the price for my sin because I could not be good enough. My sin separated me from you. So Jesus, you came and you died for my sinfulness. You died in my place, taking the wrath that I deserved. That if I place my faith in you alone, I will be saved. So, Lord, I pray that there is someone here today that does not know you, has not surrendered to you, does not know what it means to have a Savior, that they will respond to that today. And as a church, we will be ready and prepared to share this message as a body together and as individuals as we go out as the church, to share this message with those around us.
Lord, help us to get busy. Because there's a day when you will return and those around us will face wrath. Lord, help us to respond by sharing this message of the gospel to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray.